1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. Read this. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Now the Lord has given us in the law that he has written in the hearts of every man, that we ought to love one another even as ourselves. And that's demonstrated every time that we look at how we desire for others to treat us. Now, it's not demonstrated by how we treat other people, because we often fall, we always fall quite short of being what we should be in our love one to the other. But we always know what love one to the other is, because we always know how we desire for other people to love us. And so the Lord has demonstrated that. In fact, that's what he said here, that this is that which we have had from the beginning. Ever since we were children, we wanted somebody to love us, did we not? And we wanted them to think about us, and we wanted them to care for us, and we wanted them to do things for us. We wanted them to make us happy. Isn't that written in the heart of every man? Do you know somebody that doesn't want people to make them happy, or doesn't want them to love them, or doesn't want them to care about them? Not anybody like that. The Lord's written that law in the heart of every man. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to demonstrate very clearly how that is to be carried out. And it says that he loved not his life even unto death, and which we have demonstrated before us in the bread and the wine that we partake in remembrance of his death. Because that's what he told us to remember. He said, remember my death till I come again. Now, there's a lot of things that we can remember about the Lord, all the good things that he did, and he went about doing good his whole life. I mean, every step of his life was something that was taken in order to do good and benefit those who were around him. But he didn't tell us to remember that, even though we do remember it and it's recorded for us. But John, they didn't even write all the things that they could have written. John said that if all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had done were written down, there wouldn't be books in the world enough to contain it. And so he did many things, but there is one thing that he did that he told us specifically to remember, and in everything that he would describe to us to manifest our love one for the other is in the example that he gave. And that's what he said right here. because He loved us and He showed us that. He said, hereby we perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. Now, John goes on to say that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, is he telling us to that we need to go out and kill ourselves for the brethren? No, but he's saying you need to love the life of your brethren as much as you love your own life, so that if it be necessary, you would lay down your life for them. Now, that's true love. Now, when, you know, I hear people all the time saying, oh, I love everybody. Biggest lie a man ever told. When a man starts saying that, you need to just turn ahead and go ahead and walk on away from him, because he don't have any understanding of what love is, and he certainly don't understand the nature of his own heart. Because we don't love everybody. We love ourselves. There's not a person in this room that doesn't love theirself. Now, of course, you listen to the modern philosophers, they tell you that's what you should do. I mean, you're supposed to love yourself, you know. That's like, you got to love yourself and all that. Well, I never needed anybody to encourage me to do that, did you? Huh? I never met anybody that needed to be encouraged to do that. Because we love ourselves. That is the way we are. We want what we want. And so, if we could somehow or other, by the grace of God, have an understanding of what it is when we love ourselves that we love our brethren in the same fashion, then we might understand something of what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. Because He came to lay down His life for His brethren. Now, without getting into a deep theological discussion, we need to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was under no obligation of any sort to lay down His life for His people. Redemption is not something that the Lord came up with as a stopgap means. He didn't have plan A, and that went awry, and he says, oh no, what am I going to do next? Oh, I'm going to have to send my son to die. I don't have any other choice. That wasn't it at all. He designed the world to turn out exactly as it did, turned out like it did, because the Lord would demonstrate the magnificence and the glory of His grace in the redemption of a people that He loved with an everlasting love. Now, that's a mouthful. But when you come to the place where you can see that, then you can see the grandeur and glory that this one who took upon Himself the likeness of human flesh and came and dwelt among men in order to redeem them did so totally without obligation of any kind, but because it pleased Him. And you see, that's what true love is. It is laying down one's life because it is pleasing unto you to do so. Now, you sit there and I sit here when I think about that and I say, well, that's totally outside of the realm of my capability. And certainly it is. But you see, it was not outside the realm of His capability, because that's exactly what He told Pilate. He said, you don't have power to take my life. He says, I've got power to lay down my life and power to take it up again. And thus He would demonstrate for us. And though we are called upon to love one another even as He loved us, yet the reality of the matter is that we cannot possibly do so except that which He has done, that He be the performer for us in the love that we demonstrate one to the other. You can't learn how to love somebody. The Lord has to give you that. He has to work it in you. And he, by his grace, has imputed his righteousness to you. So that, if you be in Christ, and you stand before the Lord in the final day, when he shall judge the secrets of all men, as the scripture says, then those who are in Christ will stand in Christ as they have loved their brethren perfectly. Why? Because his righteousness is theirs. And he has loved his brethren perfectly. You see, there was not one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ ever did in a self-serving fashion. He didn't even take glory to himself. He says, I came to do the will of my Father. And he did the will of his Father. His Heavenly Father. When he was upon the earth, he took no glory to himself. But he said the glory belongs to him. And so it is, dear brethren, as we see what love is by the demonstration of what we have before us here. May we learn what it is to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Not out of obligation. Now some people think that, oh well, we got to love them. Well, you know, obligation is not necessarily a bad thing if we have a pure heart that is moved by the obligation. Because you see, we have an obligation in a measure to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to do the things that he says. We're obliged to do that. I mean, if he did that for us, are we not obliged to do the same to him? Of course we are. But the moment that we serve him because of obligation alone, without the work of the Spirit in us to work that by the love that he has given us for him, then it becomes an empty thing and it becomes just a work of the flesh and of no value, no real value. And so he says here, hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now how do we do that? But whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, remember the rich young ruler? When he came to the Lord, he said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said to him, well, you know what the commandments are. He said, yeah, I know what they are. I've done that from my youth up. The Lord never contradicted him. He said, well, I'll tell you what, if you be perfect, if you've kept them all then, if you be perfect, then go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me, because after all, this is what he said to him, after all, now he didn't say this, but the rich young ruler knew what he said, because I believe the Spirit of God convicted the heart of the rich young ruler. And he went away sorrowing. The Lord looked on him and he loved him. And he told him the truth. And he said, if you really loved, now I'm paraphrasing what the Spirit of God said, what I believe the Spirit of God said to the rich young ruler. Well, if you really loved everybody, if you loved your neighbor as yourself, which the laws of the Ten Commandments, the last six commandments, center in men. And that's what the Lord said when he summarized the law. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy neighbor as thyself. So the rich young ruler knew what it was that the Lord was saying when he said, well, if you'd really be perfect, because you see, that's what it takes. Who shall dwell in the house of the Lord, that man who's perfect? Tall order, is it not? And the thing is, we're behind the eight ball when we were born. And before we ever knew what to do, we'd already broken the law many times before we ever even really knew anything about it. And if that wasn't enough, we were already corrupt in Adam, and the corruptibility of our heart, the depravity that dwells within us, had already made us where we could not possibly gain entrance into the presence of God. Because he that hath pure hands, clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, I'm guilty on all counts. So if that's who's going to enter into the presence of the Lord, how can I go there? Not going to happen. Except that one came in my place as my substitute and demonstrated a perfect righteousness and love for my neighbor. I could not enter there. But by his grace, according to his mercy, he has imputed his righteousness to us. And so he said, love not. He said, let us, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Now, if the Lord Jesus said, and by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Because you're going to have a worship service where everybody's rolling in the aisle and shouting and carrying on and all that stuff. That you're going to send missionaries to the foreign fields. That you're going to do all many wonderful things that people say is the evidence that people are following the Lord. No, what did he say? He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples because of the love that you have one for the other. Now, the true people of God can be known because they love one another. That's what he said. By this we know that we have eternal life because we love the brethren. Now, if you don't love the brethren, dear brethren, according to the Scripture, not according to me, if you have no love for your brother, and we're talking about specifically our brethren in Christ. Now, we have a brotherhood of a sort with the people of the world. So we're not off the hook from the standpoint of we can't look at anybody around us, whether they're our brethren in Christ or not, and have hatred towards them. Now, we can have a pure hatred towards the things that they do and be vexed in our soul. But you see, we don't have the right as men to hate one another. You know, the Lord's able to judge. That's why he said, judge not lest ye be not judged. We don't have a standing and a place, a platform from which we can hurl out vindictives against others. Now, we can hurl out vindictives against false doctrine, false message, deceivers that would go out and deceive the people of God, but that's not a personal thing. That's because the Lord's given us a love for the truth, and we must stand for those things. But let us not love in word, but in deed and truth, because the one whom we come to celebrate this day has demonstrated perfect love in the laying down of his life in our behalf. May the Lord give us a mind and heart that loves not simply in word, where we just say, well, we love you. How empty is that? We love you. You say, the Lord said to his disciples, you say that you love me, then why don't you keep my commandments? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do the things that I say. If you love your neighbor, demonstrate it. If you love your brethren, show it. Thanks be unto God that he has done all those things for us. Because, dear brethren, as much as we know we should love one another, we know how little that we have. of that. And we know that that shame of that is that which the Lord uses to convince us of sin and to move us towards obedience unto those things that the Lord has called us to do. May we be a people that are known because we love one another. And if a brother stands in need, that we stand with him, that we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, that we're not easily offended, that we're not easily turned, you know, we don't have fickle love. Love somebody one day and because they didn't do something like we thought they ought to have or whatever, we turn aside and then we're of another mind. Thanks be unto God that the Lord Jesus Christ never had but one mind. And that was his mind and purpose to demonstrate his love to his people by the giving of his self, the pouring out of his blood, and the breaking of his body in our behalf.